This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Adrian Groenewald here. We just spoke about the future CEO, the future leader, based on a report that Alan Shardlow shared with us that Heidrick & Struggles did in association with academics. So you can download that podcast. But on the 27th of June 2016, very recently, Professor Magube, the chair of the SABC board, received this letter. Maybe not on the day, but we saw it in social media. He received this letter. "It is with great sadness that I tender my immediate resignation. For many months, I have compromised the values that I hold dear under the mistaken belief that I could be more effective inside the SABC, South African Broadcasting Corporation, than outside, passing comment from the sidelines. In the process, the prevailing corrosive atmosphere has imparted negatively on my moral judgment and has made me complicit in many decisions which I am not proud of. I wish also to apologize to the many people who I've let down by remaining silent when my voice needed to be heard. What is happening at the SABC is wrong, and I can no longer be part of it. Yours sincerely, Jimmy Matthews, Group CEO Acting." So, yeah, it went all over. A lot of people had lots of things to say. We think, and Alice and I had a conversation one day that highlighted several things, and again, we're going to run out of time. But what are the thoughts on this letter? What do we learn from this directly on the periphery of this specific dilemma that this leader faced? Alice, kick us off.
Look, I think it was always ever going to happen. You know, if you look at the context of the organization, a whole lot of things were happening, had happened, and the person involved, Jimmy himself, had presided over some of the most controversial decisions, unbecoming of someone of his stature and his caliber. The question now is, what has happened in his mind? You know, 12:40 a.m., I think that's when the letter hit Twitter. Okay, so a lot of soul searching around that time of the morning.
Yes.
But what has happened to now, you know, make it clear to him that, you know, he's been part of a very bad system, you know, that in effect has, you know, jeopardized our state of journalism, public journalism in this country. Mm-hmm. Often leaders would look to find redemption. And I often think it often is the case that at that time it's when it's too late. But as a society, we are a forgiving society. Already, you know, there's two camps. Some will say Jimmy's a hero, and some will say, no, Jimmy, in fact, should have resigned much earlier and should have not, you know, presided over some of the decisions that he took.
And if he was sincere, he would not have put his letter out there. There's a lot of issues around here, aren't there?
So, I mean, if you were to ask me personally, what do I think of the move that he's taken? I think it's a great incidence that once more illuminates, you know, the dilemmas that leaders face. Is he doing us a favor by resigning? I highly doubt it, because the damage is already done. The question that I'll be most interested in is, who now can go in and fix the mess that he's created?
And here's the challenge, Louis, before I come to you, is I'm a leader, I'm inside the ANC, I'm inside the SABC, I'm inside a listed entity, I'm inside wherever I may find myself, I'm inside the EFF, wherever, it doesn't matter, where I see decisions being made that I'm part of or not, and I cannot be at peace with it, but somehow I rationalize in some way or the other that staying inside gives me more influence or ability to make a difference than leaving now. And how far do you take that? Because there's some truth to that. You know,
you've got a family to feed, Adrian.
And you've got a family to feed and bills to pay. And, you know, how far do you take this? And how? So I'm a minister. I may not agree with what my president has done in the current government. I'm sitting there. I now need to vote in parliament whether he should be impeached or not. Somehow I'm convinced that I'm the Minister of Housing. I must stay here so that I can leave today and go and build more houses. You know, if I leave today, and because I will if I vote against, then I won't be able to make that big difference. So how do I rationalize, you know, Louis, give us some old man, some context.
Well, interesting. Ellis just left the printed media because he was unhappy about the structures around him that was limiting his principles. Now, I think we must understand, we can't understand all the impact of the things around Jimmy, because that'll come out in the wash in due course. But the point here, let's go back to the first discussion, Arjun. I think that what happens here is that ultimately we all have to face our relationship with our own inner self. Really, we have to do. Now, for instance, when Alan mentioned about one of the principles there is choosing between right and right.
Mm.
Now, therefore, we can rationalize our rights in the world. And I've had many experiences working with top executives as well. The truth is that if we don't are not happy with it, we're going to be unhappy, and we're going to manifest that spirit to people outside of ourselves. So it's all about how we understand ourselves and how we understand our personal value system. Okay. What do we stand for? Because ultimately, those leaders are the ones that you want to follow. If you're in two worlds, you don't like following a leader that's in two worlds.
So Brenda, coming from the deep, what was Alice was saying at 12:40 a.m., what was going on in this man's mind from a deep psychological perspective?
Yes, it really made me smile, because, you know, when people are living the dissonance and the lie or whatever there is, it has very deep psychological but also physical impact. In other words, we can't sleep, your mind is overactive. There are a lot of these things. Because on the other hand, deep within the self and the person, there is a space that has the truth. But we don't take enough time to actually access that place.
We don't nourish it.
You know, and what happens is that it's just as we get disconnected from this and then run around in circles. And as you said, then the ego pops up. And we must know the ego always has self-serving motives.
Yeah.
In other words, we have people there that will stay in a situation because the situation serves their ego or their bank balance or their pension or
status,
whatever.
Status, position, whatever.
Or whatever. And what we are now looking for, we're looking for bold people who can stand up. And this is one of the things I found in my book, Securing the Madiba Magic, is that you get to a point of inner freedom where fear, even the fear of death, starts falling away. Even the fear of not having money, because you believe in yourself so securely that even if you do get out of the SABC at an earlier stage, you can make it work in a different way. But then you need a lot of self-understanding, self-knowledge, self-management, and self-mastery.
Hey Brenda, just publishing that letter, I know it's speculation, but what does it show of me as a leader? I could have just sent that quietly. Same principle, saying it's time for me to get out. I know myself. I've been raping my own conscience, whatever. Publishing it, putting it out in the public. Is it trying to justify? Is it trying to save my own bacon? Is it real? Is it authentic? Can we even guess?
You see, I don't know if we can actually make a decision on what this person was thinking. From my point of view is that if one person stands up in integrity, honesty, truth, and true to the authentic part of self, if one person does that on a public forum and actually taking a letter like this and putting it out there, you can pull it to shreds just as you like, but that must have taken a lot of guts to do this. I would
the question
like
is, did fear motivate you again?
Yes.
Or was it inner peace? And
okay, can I say this? Sure. I think at its most simplest form, putting a letter like that, I'll be interested to hear Alan's view of how leaders in this sort of situation have to conduct themselves. Because personally, I'm all about transparency, openness, social media and all that. But I think a line was crossed in terms of how you'd go about resigning in this instance.
That's how people do it.
You have been the acting CEO of a corporation. Okay? Mm. So what can we read from that sort of action? I think it basically shows defiance. Mm. The system had gone so bad that ultimately Jimmy had to say, this is how I'm going to do this. Enough is enough.
You see, Audrey, we don't know all the reasons. We don't. But what we do know, getting back, we know there's dissonance. Others, there's a contradiction in his life. There's a war at stake there. Exactly how strong he is morally, we don't know. It all come out. It could be tactical, etc. But the dissonance is important. If
dissonance,
you don't,
you mean,
bring those two into shape, the inner peace and, of course, what Brenda speaks about, the fear motivation or the ego, then there will be dissonance. And that weakens you. It weakens your organization. It weakens the world.
See, the power of media, social media, the interconnectedness of the world makes it possible for leaders to then do what he did. and for that to be blown up incredibly. You didn't have to wait for the newspapers the next day or anything like
There's
that.
There's two ways to resign. You can do a soft exit or a hard exit. He chose to do the hard exit.
For reasons,
because
whatever.
Yeah. He's at the point where he has nothing to lose.
So I think it comes down to culture, business culture, maybe organizational culture, down to what goes on in our society, societal culture. There are some businesses where the culture is you signed up for a particular reason, the organization was going to go in that direction, it now turned left and is going the other direction. You say, well, that's not what I signed up for, and that's why I'm leaving. So you say why you're leaving. What seems to be the business culture here is you resign to pursue other interests. What does that mean? And in the absence of you giving some kind of an indication of what you're thinking about why you left to either shareholders or colleagues, people fill the gaps with all kinds of stories. And so to Louis' point, who knows what's going on? Who really, really knows? Nobody knows. It reminds, if I go back, it's probably showing my age, I don't know, if I go back to the time that Michael Heseltine resigned from Margaret Thatcher's cabinet over a helicopter deal. He said why he resigned. He had a press conference. He said, I can't serve in the Prime Minister's cabinet because of this reason. That doesn't happen often. And I think that we need more of that. You don't have to spill the beans and, you know, take out all the dirty laundry. But I think if you say, my point of view is this, or my moral compass is that, and I don't want to be associated with the way things are going, and therefore I'm leaving, I think that actually, that's some kind of leadership, because it comes back to your authenticity, your purpose not being aligned with the organization's purpose, and you say so. But, you know, to the point that as I was making earlier, is you've got to feed your family and send your children to school. So what do? You manage your persona, you manage your business persona by trying to shut down and contain the fallout so that you live another day.
But the other thing too, just to expand on Alan's point, is that I think we also need to then put ourselves in the leader's shoes, because let's ask, what has Jimmy's action in the context of what's happened, what has it done? Has it made the SABC better over the last 2-3 weeks, or has it actually escalated the commotion and the chaos? You see, I think leaders also,
in the positive direction,
also have to take responsibility in terms of how do they choose to leave, because as you leave, you're still leaving 3,000 people behind. Does your action add to, you know, stabilizing the organization, or does it lead to a much more worse outcome?
So Louis, what's the definition of leadership that you always bring up for us?
Well, it's leadership confidence is trust in processes that work. How to handle the process of leaving?
No. Yeah. Even more, it's positive direction. Is every decision, does it take the situation in a positive direction?
How can I help move this situation in a positive direction?
And that's coming to your statement, Alice, to say.
Yeah, and that's a question that hasn't been asked.
Correct, it's too early.
No.
All right, so just one or two other things that we can take away from this specific experience. Leaders face moral dilemmas all the time in our world. You know, the timing of leaving, maybe we don't have time to discuss that, but when do I leave? People say Mandela's timing was brilliant. I don't know. Maybe if he didn't care about his legacy, he would have stayed longer for the sake of the country and for the good of the country, rather than leave to protect my own legacy and my future, knowing that the next 4 years will be tougher. I don't know. You know, when does a leader leave and not leave? That's another question. Yeah, but Brenda, you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. One of the things I found with my leadership research is that what is your inner guidance system, that inner GPS you have within self? And if we have a look at a GPS, it's got 3 points that actually coordinate and then give you the direction you need to move. What I found is that many of our leaders in top positions are not actually aware of they have an inner guidance system. So then they just fall back and the ego tells them, listen, you can break this law, you can do that because your children won't get money.
Your bases are covered.
And your bases are covered. But if you are really securely tuned to that authentic part of yourself, you're also connected to your inner GPS or your inner guidance system. To even take it further, it's literally a place in the brain, in the frontal lobes. And you can even assess this, and you can even do EEGs and all kinds of things, because it lights up and it sends out an enormous amount of energy when you are on the right path. But when you're on the wrong path, the energy starts to dissipate, and when it dissipates, you could even get physically ill. So we need to teach our people, and also our children and our youth coming up, to be very self-aware of where am I coming from, because I need to guide, and I need to make choices that are also guided by my GPS. And
Brenda, you mentioned three points. Yeah. The GPS, what are they?
The GPS, well, it all depends. It's number one, the first thing that is the first point is the whole point of where do I get my information from. In other words, what is feeding the basis I base my choices on? And we can even take it from elementary kind of information right up to wisdom. The next point that we need to take that need to be aligned is the whole question of my power. I need to understand the power I have encoded into my potential. And it's personal potential. It's definitely not, excuse me, a position. And the third one we have is compassion that comes from the heart. And here you start, you need to balance those three points in terms of compassion or a heart-centered kind of value system. You also have to balance your power, and very few people know much about their power because it's instinctive. And the third one then is you have to go according to the information, and hopefully it comes from a wisdom part of self that will take you further.
Okay.
I think the most realistic thing though too is also to think, at what point, Brenda, are you able to recalibrate your compass? Because you are in the, you deep in the trenches, you know, there's missiles coming at you. When are you thinking about your inner, you know, self, yeah, and values and direction? You have a decision to make. In fact, it's interesting that Alan's study shows, the first thing it shows is speed.
Mm.
So we as stakeholders, we're also expecting leaders to be very agile in terms of decision making.
Yeah.
Yet we are saying they also need to be in tune and aligned with their inner being and
be quiet and think things through.
And all the relevance. Yet we want the results. The quarter must look good in the last quarter. But now.
Yes. The point is, though, very difficult about preparation. You know, the time of action comes, the time of preparation is past. It's beautiful examples out there. The special forces people, how they are drilled. Karate. Ordering you and your brothers to karate. Thousands of exercises so you can react instinctively. Spiritual preparation is very much so. So when the crisis comes, it's too late for your spiritual preparation. Yeah. If you haven't prepared, mm-hmm, then you may be in trouble.
Because
then
you're yes, I'm so excited
make that
to
statement
hear that.
Again. Make that statement again.
That's a very good statement.
Do you know which one? I don't know. You made so many now.
The time for preparation
yes,
is always...
Well, when the,
it's
the
over when... what?
When the time of action
time
comes,
for decision comes,
yeah,
but time for preparation is
over.
Over
in that
over.
Sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, if we take people and we can actually give them their skills and tools and make it literally part of who they are, it doesn't matter in terms of time how many more waters are falling around you, because you are securely at a very, very deep level, spiritually, subconsciously.
Okay.
I think back to Jimmy, though, before we run out of time.
Yeah, we're out of
time. Let's acknowledge one thing that Jimmy has done. He's done something that we've not seen in our body politic. Okay? December 9th, we had, you know, chaos in the markets. Finance minister gets fired. We had the Gupta gate. Remember, you know, the aircraft at Waterkloof. Whoever resigned out of those instances? Nobody. So we need to again ask ourselves, why is there such a reluctance to take the kind of step that Jimmy has taken at a corporate level? Why can't we see that at the political level?
So maybe this is the beginning of the recalibration of the compass.
Hopefully.
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
No, we thought it was like when, who was the guy, the prominent politician who admitted his CV was the doctorate?
Paula Jordan.
We thought, hey, yes, this is now a few years back, man. So I don't know. I thought that was the recalibration of our moral compass. Anyway, our time is up. I think in the end, despite everything we've said, on top of everything we've said, I'm still going to make mistakes as a leader in today's crazy world. And if my intent was correct, and I have the courage to apologize and move on, we are a forgiving society, and we will realize in today's world, we will all realize that leaders will still make mistakes in many respects. So, folks, thank you so much. A quick Isibanye executive inspirational thought. And I'll come back to what Dr. Brenda Hutting said, and this is self-coaching and mentoring are now becoming part and parcel of the new leadership paradigm. Dr. Brenda Hutting, and we can talk about that more at some stage. But in essence, I cannot just depend or wait for programs that my corporate's going to thrust at me to develop me as a leader. I have to take ownership myself, and that is very important. All right, folks, thank you so much. Boy, that was so fascinating. I'm telling you, we just have too much to say, don't we, Alice? I mean, it feels like we're scratching the surface. Dr. Brenda Hutting, you staying on for the corruption conversation, preventing corruption in your business. Alan Chardelot, thank you so much. Hydrican Struggles, I hope we can push your button at times. I mean,
great to be with you, thanks.
Really some practical good insights. And of course, Alice and Louis, stay on. Thank you so much. Stay with us. Next up, Business Masterclass.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.